Exodus chapter number 15. Sa aklat tayo ng Exodus chapter 15. Now, you remember last week we talked about the crossing of the Red Sea, where the children of Israel went out from Egypt. And the Red Sea was divided by the hand of Almighty God through the instrumentation of Moses. So, again, the power belongs to God, but the tool that God uses is a surrendered vessel, like Moses. And don't forget, Christian, who has the power? God has the power. But who does God choose to use? The surrendered vessel. The Christian who is surrendered. So I don't know if you have any Red Seas in front of you. But if you want to see God's mighty hand of blessing part the Red Sea, then we need to be vessels in the hands of a mighty God that God could use. We pray for cleansing. We pray for surrender. And we allow the Holy Spirit of God to use us. And the Lord parts the Red Sea. He does the work. But we need to be surrendered to Him. And no sense fighting the Christian battle in the flesh. It will not work. And so here we have chapter 15. Something appropriate. After victory, after great victory, in chapter 15 we find verse number 1, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying," and then of course the music begins, you know, "I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider he hath thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him." The entire chapter, well, most of the entire chapter, the latter part's not too good, but most of the chapter here until verse 18 is the song of Moses and the children of Israel, the victory song. And music is a very important issue. Music. Many churches and Christians have been destroyed because of bad music. Music ought to come from the heart that is filled with the Spirit of God, that brings honor and praise to the Lord. If our music does not honor and praise the Lord, then it's not good music. Music. "Then sang Moses." Our music ought to express the greatness of God and the greatness of God's work. In here, look at how Moses describes the Lord. "I will sing unto the Lord." That's the direction of music. We do not sing to entertain one another. Ito ang difference. Sa church natin, hindi tayo umaawit dahil magaganda ang boses natin. At wala tayong iba pang alam na gawin kundi umaawit. No, the Bible explicitly commands us to sing unto the Lord. That is a command from God. He has authority, and in His authority, He says, "I want you to sing." And that's why we sing. Kaya pala may music sa church, dahil ito ay inatasan tayo ng Diyos na umawit sa Kanya. Eh pastor, sintunado ako. Kahit na, kailangan umawit pa rin tayo sa Kanya. Dahil hindi naman ho tayo fine arts. Okay? Wala hong ditong Philippine Idol. Sa mundo yun. Okay? Sa church, tayo ay sumasamba sa Panginoon dahil inutusan niya tayo na umawit. And so, God deserves that. Ang audience ng music natin ay always God. He is the audience of music. We sing and worship for Him alone. We sing unto the Lord. We don't sing for ourselves. Okay? We sing unto the Lord. And We're not here for entertainment. We are motivated by spiritual conditioning and relationship with God. That's why you should worship the Lord at home. Worship the Lord in private. Worship the Lord in secret. Kasi kung ano yung prayer mo sa secret, dadalhin mo yan sa church. You bring it to the church. And then you join the public prayer and the public worship of the Lord. Okay? But worship begins in the heart. It doesn't begin in the church. Kaya, ito instruction ito. It's a very instructional chapter. We do not begin worshiping God in the church. We begin worshiping God in our hearts, at home. And the Lord is glorified when we join our hearts together in praise and worship to the Lord. Okay? But isipin mo kung hindi mo hinanda ang iyong heart. What if you didn't prepare your heart? And then you come to the church and you could potentially bring bad spirit in the church. I'm not saying that there's never a time that you don't bring a heavy heart to church. Bring your heavy heart to the church. The Lord is here. Cast your burden upon Him. But don't bring a bad spirit in church. Wag na lang yung masamang ugali. Na kung mabigat ang puso mo, meron kang mga pagsubok, meron kang mga testings and trials, yun, dalhin mo yan sa Panginoon. Bring it. And then we'll pray over you. And we'll pray with you. But don't bring a bad spirit. Ha? Kapag naman kasalanan ang dinadala mo sa church, no, thank you. We do not need that. And God will not receive that worship, you know. And so, sing unto the Lord. So important. That phrase, sing unto the Lord. Sana kayo, yung mga may Bible concordance. Maybe your cell phone has a concordance. Maybe you have a concordance at home. Look up the phrase, sing unto the Lord. And see how many hundreds of times the Bible commands us to sing unto the Lord. He is the audience of music. That's why we don't clap. Pansin ba ninyo? Walang pagkatapos ng kanta. Kasi ito, pag ganito, na-entertain ka, nagustuhan mo yung narinig mo. Hindi ho ugali yan sa church. That's not how we do it in church. Well, what do we do when we are edified and we enjoy and we are built up and we like what we hear? We say, Amen. Yan ang ugali ng New Testament. That's the Old New Testament dispensation way of agreeing with what is spoken and what is sang and what the message is. We say amen. We say amen vocally. You could say amen in your heart. You can agree in your mind. Yes, Lord. May that be so. May that be true. Amen means let it be so. Yes, yes, I agree. May it be that way. And indeed, that's amening. And pero pag clapping, we don't clap. Yung mga baptismal service, when we baptize the disciple, do we clap? Woo! Yoo-hoo! No, we don't. Why? Because this is still a church ordinance. Do we clap for Lord's Supper when we get the bread and the cup? Woo, woo, woo. No, we don't do that. Why? Because we are not here for entertainment. Tandaan ninyo, ang entertainment, hindi para sa worship. Worship means sacrifice. That's what it means. Worth, ascribing our God His worth. What is God worth to you? Well, that's a heavy, very heavy topic. And here we have the sing unto the Lord. Verse number one, for he hath triumphed gloriously. Again, so Moses is describing the works of who God is and what he has done. This is the content of music. Godly music is focused on the Lord and the things of the Lord. That's godly music. Worldly music is focused on self and the flesh. So, I hope, and I think, kapag nag-attend ka sa church natin, naunawaan mo, iba talaga ang music natin. Kakaiba. Why? Kasi, sagrado, banal. It's a reflection of God who is different and holy. Different and holy. And so for he hath triumphed gloriously, the horse and his rider he hath thrown into the sea. It rhymes, I like that. He hath triumphed gloriously. Maybe you guys should like work a tune on that one. The Lord is my strength and my song, and has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war, and the Lord is his name. And then verse 4, Pharaoh's chariots and his hosts hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. That rhymes also. the depths are covered. The depths have covered them, and they sank into the bottom as a stone. So there's an example of how Pharaoh was crushed under the power of the Red Sea. They sank as stone. Para silang bato na napaka bigat na nalunod sila sa Red Sea. Verse 6, Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. One thing about biblical music is its masculinity, its strength. And it talks about dashing the enemies. Now, when have we sung a song about dashing our enemies? Dashing through the snow. As close as you get. The world's music is effeminate. Malambot ang musika ng mundo. Mahinhin. Effeminate. Babaihin, kumbaga, kung pwede kong sabihin gano'n. But God's music is strong. God's music is masculine. God's music is powerful. And it reflects who he is. Verse 7, And in the greatness of thine excellency hast thou overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sendest forth thy wrath. We're singing about his wrath. Which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils the waters were gathered together, and the flood stood upright as an heap. And the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. I mean, a wall. Imagine that. A wall of water. What a magnificent song. And of course, the crushing of the enemy. Verse 9, the enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, and my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind, and the sea covered them. Man, there goes Pharaoh and his army. One day they stand threatening God's people, and in one evening they're gone. And they sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Verse 11 is kind of like the apex of the song. Ito yung tema ng music. Verse 11, Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? The gods, yung mga Diyos-Diyosan ng Egypt, natatandaan ba rin nyo? By the way, yung Diyos-Diyosan ng buhay ay si Osiris. Osiris. Kaya nung namatay yung mga firstborn, walang pananalangin kay Osiris ang umubra. There is no prayer for Osiris that could prevent him from stopping the angel of the Lord that destroyed, the destroying angel. That took the life of the firstborn. And there's one more god in Egypt. Did you know that Pharaoh himself is considered a god? And Pharaoh himself could not help his own firstborn. And Pharaoh himself died. And so, yes, who is like unto thee? Verse 11, O Lord, among the gods, including Pharaoh. Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretcheth out thy right hand, and the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy. That's a very important word, mercy. That word mercy is covenant kindness. Thy kindness, O Lord. Thy mercy, O Lord. You remember when God made a promise to Abraham? Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The Abrahamic covenant. Do you remember that? Ano yung Abrahamic covenant? Yung pangako ng Diyos na bibigyan siya ng seed, bibigyan siya ng lupa, at bibigyan siya ng spiritual blessing na siya ang magiging blessing sa lahat ng pamilya ng buong mundo. And so, this is God's Abrahamic covenant. Chesed, mercy. It's the same word here in verse 13. Did God forget His mercy? Did God forget His covenant? No, God still deals with Moses and Israel in covenant with Abraham. And God still deals with us according to His covenant. We participate in the covenant, the spiritual blessing part of the covenant. We don't participate in the land promise. That's not for us. That's for Israel. But we have, I mean, of course, when Israel occupies their land according to the Abrahamic covenant, it's going to be like heaven on earth. But we, I mean, if I can say it like this, we get it better because we dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We don't have an earthly possession. As New Testament born-again believers, our inheritance is the eternal city, a place in the Father's house, a mansion in the Father's house. And we will always be with the Lord forever. So wherever the Lord is, we're going to be right next to Him as His New Testament born-again people. And so, let's see, verse 13, Thou in Thy mercy has led forth the people which Thou has redeemed, and Thou hast guided them in Thy strength unto Thy holy habitation. So, this is basically how it works. God took them out of Egypt and led them and guided them to the land of Canaan. So this is how, this is a picture of salvation. This is a picture of deliverance. God saves us from the world of sin, and then He guides and leads us to heaven, the heavenly home, God's promised land for us as Christians, as believers. He saved us from sin unto heaven. He saved Israel from Egypt, the picture of the world, unto the land of Canaan, the promised land, a picture of heaven for the Jewish believers. Verse number 14, Then shall the people hear and be afraid. Sorrow, that's important. Then shall the people hear and be afraid. Eto narinig ng mga Gentiles kung ano ang nangyari sa Egypt dahil hinato sila ni Jehovah ng Panginoong Diyos. At dahil doon, matatakot ang mga Gentile nations. They will become a witness to the Gentile nations concerning the awesome power of God. And as a result, some of them will get saved. Think of Rahab. Naalala niyo si Rahab? Rahab heard about it. When she said, wait a minute, these are the spies. These are the messengers from Joshua, the Israelites, captain. Oh yeah, the Israelites. I heard about them. They're the ones that split the Red Sea. They're the ones who saw the might and crushed Egypt. We're in trouble, Jericho. We're in trouble. We need to repent and believe on the Lord. And she did. And she received the messengers, the book of Hebrews says. She received the messengers, meaning to say she trusted in Jehovah God. And so when God destroyed Jericho, guess what? There's only one house that was not destroyed. Whose house? Rahab's house. So it's a picture, again, of redemption and salvation. So verse 16... Oh no, I'm sorry. Verse 14, Then the people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. Yan. This is interesting because Moses is the only one in the entire Bible that says Palestina. So anong ibig sabihin ng Palestina? Palestine. Okay, now do we call it Palestine today? Now, liberal theologians want to call it Palestine today. But biblical geography, we don't call it Palestine. Guess what we call it? Israel, the land of Israel, or the Holy Land, or God's promised land. We don't call it Palestine, Palestina. Now, he can call it Palestina back then because that's really what it was during his time. And Palestina means Philistine, the land of the Philistines. And there were basically the occupiers of that land. Now remember, Israel owned that land 430 years ago at this time. That was Abraham's land. Because it got taken over again by the Canaanites. So verse 15, then the dukes of Edom, that's basically the Edomites, naalala ba ninyo yung son of, let's see here, Edom and Moab were brothers from, who's that? Who's the father? Lot, from Lot. And Lot's daughters, you remember Lot's daughters, got him drunk and then incest, they had a relationship and then they bore him his own sons, which is wrong. Well, that's Edom is one, the other one is Moab. So verse 15, then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed, and the mighty men of Moab trembling shall take hold upon them, and all the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Verse 16, fear and dread shall fall upon them, and the greatness of thine arm shall they be, they shall be as still as a stone, till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. And thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. So looking forward, Moses knew that God wanted them to establish a place of worship. So again, salvation is not just deliverance from sin. Salvation is also part of it is that we worship the Lord. So we're saved for a purpose. So ano ang purpose kung bakit niligtas tayo ng Diyos? Para maglingkod sa Kanya. To worship Him. Worshiping Him. It's part of it. And God wants a sanctuary. A holy place. Now, in the time of Moses, wala pang temple. Ano yung holy place nila? Tent. The tabernacle. Tama. Yung tulda. O yung tabernakulo. All right. Tapos, before the tabernacle, what was the place of worship in Genesis? Huh? Yes, the Garden of Eden. That was a special place where God could fellowship with Adam, man. God always has a place of fellowship. Now, in the New Testament, ano ang place of worship? The church. That's right, the church. And then, of course, there's also your private, personal relationship with the Lord at home. Dapat lahat tayo, dapat ang tahanan natin ay maliit na simbahan. Na kung saan pinag-uusapan natin ang patungkol sa Panginoon at umaawit tayo ng mga awitin na nakakapagbigay lugod sa Diyos at nagpe-pray din tayo sa ating mga tahanan. Amen? We ought to have that. And then in our personal hearts, in our personal life, we ought to have worship experiences privately. So we have corporate worship, we have private worship, and God is holy and sanctified through those things. So verse 18, the Lord shall reign. This is the end of the song. Look at how it ends. The Lord shall reign forever and ever and ever. King of kings forever. All right. And so the Lord shall reign forever. What a theme. What a powerful song. Now, in the Bible, merong si Pastor Reeves, kaibigan ko siya sa USA, isa sa kanyang thesis bago siya nabigyan ng doctorate, ng Doctor of Theology, yung pinakamataas na academic scholar ng Seminary. Isa sa kanyang thesis ay yung music ng Bible. At natuklasan niya na ang research niya ay basic sa isang babae na si Suzanne Hake Ventura. Isa siyang Jewish organist at composer at music theorician mula sa Paris, France. So this was Pastor Reeves wrote a thesis for his doctorate degree and explained how the accents ng Hebrew letters ay actually musical notation. And ang ginawa niya ay linagay niya sa music yung interpretation ng Hebrew accents. So ibig sabihin, kung marunong tayo magbasa ng Hebrew, pwede nating awitin ang Hebrew. And so, na-discover niya ito 1979. So this would be about 42 years ago. Nag-publish siya ng aklat at recordings. Tapos, binerify siya ng isang musicologist of ancient music na si John Wheeler. So John Wheeler confirmed Suzanne Ventura's work. And basically, sabi ng report ng National Public Radio noong 1986 na siya, itong si Mrs. Ventura, ay ihinalintulad sa French archaeologist Champollion at si British polymath na si Thomas Young noong na-discover nila ang mga letters ng Egyptian hieroglyphic. So, ibig sabihin, may mga kasulatan sa bato, yung mga malilit na kasulatan na hindi na naunawaan ng modernong tao kung anong ibig sabihin ng mga letters na yon, ni-research nitong si Champollion at saka ni Young, at nabiyak nila ang code. Kaya ngayon, alam natin kung ano yung messages ng mga Egyptian hieroglyphics. So ilang daang taon ang lumipas, mga libong taon ang lumipas, na-discover nila ito 1820. So 1820, ang lahat ng mga 1820 pa papunta sa panahon natin, pwede na nating basahin ang hieroglyphics ng Egypt. Dahil kay Champollion at saka kay Young. Ganun ang ginawa ni Ventura sa Hebrew music. So ilang mga daang taon ang lumipas, libong taon na hindi natin naunawaan, na yung palang mga accent marks ay maaaring musical instrument, ay musical notation. So, ganun kahalaga ang work ni Ventura, ni Miss Suzanne Hake Ventura. So, binigyan tayo ng sample ng music ng Masoretic text na ginagamit natin ng basehan ng King James natin. You want to hear it? Baka magulat kayo, hindi ito katulad ng music natin. Lalo na, luma pa ito. So, what does that mean? That means na hindi siya katulad ng music ngayon. At may mga elemento ng music ito na kakaiba. Alright, so here's a sample. Ito, sample muna ng musika ng Middle East. Okay? Para alam natin yung isip natin, huwag namang masyak masyado. Ito ang modernong musika ng Middle East. Nako kung maano ko. Ito yung awit nila.
Shiram malos le David, samahti be omerim li, bet Adonai nelech, omedot ayu raglenu, bishareich, Yerushalayim.
Okay, so, ganun sila umawit sa Middle East. Pero noong, you can look at Psalm 122. Ito yung sound ng Psalm 122 sa Hebrew. Psalm 122. So yung unang narinig ninyo, yan ang way ng pag-awit ngayon. Pero noong si Ventura ay nag-notate, ginamit niya yung accents at dinala niya sa music, ito ang sound ng Hebrew. Pakinggan niyo kung gaano ka-different. By the way, pati yung kasulatan sa ilalim ng 122, inawit din. Do you see that? That's part of scripture. And that's why they sang it. So I was not wrong. Kinorek ako ng kaibigan ko, sabi ng kaibigan ko, hindi mo na kailangan awitin yan. Oh, really? Kala ko sinabi ng Bible, umawit tayo ng words of God. Eh, words of God yan. Hindi mo pwede. You cannot take away those inscriptions. Hindi ho yan extra galing sa translators. Yan ho ay parte ng original. And that's why they sang it. Anyway, let's continue. So, nakita ninyo yung difference? Hindi siya katulad ng manya-nya. Hindi ganon. Very straightforward. And very careful. And very clear. And it's just a fascinating theory. And that was verified by musicologists, ancient musicologists, 1979. Okay? One more song. Tingnan natin ang Psalm 96. Pansinin ninyo kung yung music ay angkop sa text. Yan, isa na naman elemento ng music yan. Kailangan yung palang words natin at saka melody sumasama, hindi contradiction. Katulad ng mga music ngayon. Ang ganda ng words, pero yung melody makamundo. Oh, walang kwenta yon. Okay? So even if you have good words, if your music is wrong, the music overtakes the words. Hindi ho importante masyado yung words compare sa melody. Ha? Ito yung words, I love you. Oh, pag sinabi kong, I love you. Oh, ganun. Yung paraan ng pagsasabi ko, positive. Pero pag sinabi kong, I love you. Oh, yung paraan ng pagsasabi ko ng pangalawa, negative. Oh, ganun ang music. Huwag mong sabihin, porque yung words maganda, kung yung melody ay makamundo, hindi ko yung katanggap-tanggap sa Diyos. Anyway, Psalm 96. Okay? Tingnan natin ito. Psalm 96. it goes on. Bum, 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 bum. It's a very nice melody. So hindi siya katulad ng modern. Ano ba yan? Papaya. Well, God's music is much, much better. Oh, well, let's finish. Let's conclude Exodus chapter 15. Ilang minuto na lang. I am out of time. I knew I was going to run out of time. Okay, verse 23. Sumayaw naman si Miriam. And when Miriam... verse 20. And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after with timbrels and dances. Sumayaw naman sila. So, okay ba ang sayaw sa church? Bakit walang sumasayaw dito? Eh, si Miriam, sumayaw siya. Well, una sa lahat, walang utos ang Diyos na sumayaw tayo sa Kanya. Did you know that? God said, sing unto the Lord, but the Bible doesn't say, dance unto the Lord. There is no command in Scripture that prescribes dancing as part of worship. Second of all, Miriam danced, but it didn't say the Lord received that worship. In fact, they lost their water. Look at verse 23. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. So, baka, ano, wag natin sabihin na yung sayaw ay aprobado ng Diyos. Third, ang sayaw na religious na ginawa ni Miriam ay sa kapanahunan ng Old Testament. Iba ho ang worship nila noon. Meron silang sacrifice ng mga hayop. Wala tayong sacrifice ngayon ng mga hayop. Why? Because Jesus Christ fulfills the sacrifice. Siya ang once and done offering natin. Complete perfect offering is the Lord Jesus Christ. So anyway, and so we don't see the dancing in the New Testament. Walang command. Even in the New Testament, there is none of that. And dancing will come back in the millennial kingdom. Pero that will surround the temple again. So we don't have temple worship here and we don't do dancing. And besides, the dancing of the world is far worse than the religious spiritual dancing of the Old Testament. So, mas malaswa ang dancing ngayon kesa sa kapanahunan ng Bible. So, huwag kayong pasayaw-sayaw dahil yung katawan natin ay hindi ho dapat bastusin. Right? We don't gyrate and we do not mosh for Jesus and we do not headbang for the Lord and we do not thrust the hips for the Lord. You cannot do that because those acts are sensual and immoral expressions of art. All right, let's pray and ask the Lord to bless. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. I pray that we would examine our music and examine our worship, that it would be pleasing to you. We love you, Lord, and ask your blessing upon us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. You are dismissed. Mga 5 minutes before we begin.